Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
We'll take you live to Ukraine now, and Joseph Lindsley in Lviv. And Joe, this, I know, is a very historic piece of music, isn't it?
Yeah, Bob, good afternoon from Lviv. This is the song Vastopol, and this version, it's a little piece of home for me. It's played by the great American guitarist Elizabeth Cotton from Carrboro, North Carolina. She's one of the best guitarists of all time. She was discovered at age 60 by the Seeger family, a black woman from North Carolina who really helped change American music. But she was playing this song, was a song from the 19th century that many people believe helped create American rock music. And the song was written in the 1850s by a guy from Ohio as an ode to those who died in the Crimean War. I was thinking with all the recent news about Crimea, in fact, even early this morning, there were reports of a drone attack on Sevastopol, which is the capital of Crimea, which Russia has occupied since 2014. And it seems that Ukrainians are, just as Russians in the past weeks have been sending drone attacks. There was another attack on a Kyiv suburb last night. Ukrainians are sending drones into Crimea, and perhaps this is an indication of preparation for some new kind of attempt to take back the Crimean Peninsula. But it's also an occasion to think about, I mean, to remember that in the 1850s, the world was gripped by the Crimean War. From October 1853 to February 1856, you had global powers fighting mainly over this peninsula in the Black Sea, subtropical peninsula, really beautiful place. I've never been there, but I've seen photos of, you know, the rocky cliffs and mountains and the beautiful coastlines and vineyards. And you had the Russian Empire at the time fighting the Ottoman Empire. And the Ottomans were joined by the French, the Brits, and some Italian kingdoms. And it was, by all accounts, a very brutal war. In fact, some say this is what made the Russian writer Tolstoy into a pacifist. The British nurse Florence Nightingale, she rose to prominence because she, and just like so many of the volunteers of today, she traveled to Crimea and to nearby places to care for the wounded soldiers and develop new methods for healing those wounded in battle. And it's really amazing parallel because I've seen so many Americans come to Ukraine, even some directly inspired by Florence Nightingale, the British woman who went to Crimea, using new battlefield medicine techniques that Americans learned in Afghanistan to save lives and limbs here in Ukraine. And another interesting parallel is that the Crimean War of the 1850s was the first war to be widely documented by telegraph and photograph. And likewise, you know, Russia's war in Ukraine since February 24th last year, this is the first war to be documented on social media. You know, we can see the missile strikes. In fact, there was a strike on Zaporizhia city just a few hours ago into an apartment building. We can see that. We can see the scenes from the trenches. We can also even see the moments of joy. That's something we didn't see in the Crimean War, the dancing and the singing, the things that otherwise would not be recorded. But because everyone has the ability to share this, this war, we really, the world can live it more than ever before. But there are some major differences because in Crimea, it was the world powers fighting. And the regular people were kind of left in the middle. In fact, the Kyiv Cossacks, the Cossacks come from the wild fields in central Ukraine. At the end of the Crimean War, they tried to revolt against the Tsar. They wanted their freedom. They didn't want to have to fight the Tsar's wars. And a century before, those same Cossacks in the region of Zaporizhia, just north of Crimea, they had created one of the world's first democratic constitutions. I think, in fact, it was the first constitution with separation of powers. And so, here, looking at this history of what was happening in the 1850s, looking at what's happening now, you know, I think you could say that the essence of Ukraine, these people of the wild fields, the mountains, whether they're Cossacks or Crimean Tartars, the Hutsuls, Christians, Muslims, and Jews, is this desire to be free, not part of any empire or vast bureaucracy. And now in 2014, they protested for that right, and now they have to fight for it, but they have the support of people from all over the world. And so here, listening to that song, a little bit of, you know, thinking of how people in faraway Ohio in the 1850s were gripped by what was happening here, and now all the more so here in 2023.
We appreciate that you're such a great student of history, Joseph. And I was thinking about you the other day because my wife and I are making plans to finally see All Quiet on the Western Front, which is, of course, about World War One, and it was a famous novel. I don't know if you get to see movies over there. I'm sure you had really enjoyed this. Do you get to watch films there?
You know, the first 3 months of the war, almost no, I don't think anyone here wanted to watch a film or did watch anything. And people have started to. You can go to the cinemas. And I have many friends that have watched that movie. I'll take your recommendation first before I watch it, because I think, you know, having a lot of the things we've seen here, especially in Donbass and Zaporizhia, it might, you know, there might not be the need to watch it on film right now.
Maybe you better watch a comedy if you go to any movie.
I think so. Yeah, but I do think, I mean, it's interesting timing of that film, and you know, so many. You know, I remember those first back in March 1 year ago, when in our news bunker we had foreign fighters and they showed up. They had just been fighting in the trenches outside of Kyiv, and they were almost like ghosts. And they said these were veterans of Afghanistan and Iraq. They were fighting in the trenches. They said they had only read about such warfare in the stories from World War One. And so I think watching that movie will actually show people a lot of the suffering and the challenge of these current fights, including right now in Bakhmut.
And you mentioned the drone strikes in Kyiv, 4 killed overnight, we now know. And what's really disturbing is the body, the fourth, was found in the rubble of a dormitory. So they're still hitting these civilian targets, aren't they, Joseph?
Constantly. And this is, you know, meanwhile, right as that was happening, President Xi Jinping was exchanging farewell greetings with Vladimir Putin. And you really, you know, we have to really look at that and say China never condemned Putin's actions. Meanwhile, you know, he's targeting civilians, and China has no problem with this. If we look at, you know, the actions of that nation. As we consider, you know, who stands on what side, we have to, you know, who says nothing when civilians are being attacked. And, you know, also remember when China's dictator arrived in Moscow, it was to great fanfare. His airplane landed. And at the same time, when Japan's prime minister was arriving, he had to take an overnight train from Poland, you know, a profound action. And so we really see, I think, a clear dividing line between going back to the days of the ancient Cossacks, but who stands on the side of free people and decency, and who stands on the side of control.
As always, we hope for better news tomorrow. Thank you, Joseph.
Thank you, Bob. Till tomorrow.